Hi, this is Frank Dunn reading for you from the Norwood Record, the 19th of February edition. On behalf of the Talking Information Center, some good stories here. The hospital taking hearing has no opposition in Norwood in the Olympics. And bare bones, big band swings at the high school. Well, let's go to the hospital, huh? This hospital needs to be built. Jeff Sullivan is the reporter of the Massachusetts Joint Committee on State Administration and Regulation Oversight, hosted a hearing last Thursday on House Bill 5047, with about a dozen panelists speaking to the need to take Norwood Hospital by eminent domain. No one at the hearing spoke in opposition to the measure. However, until there is a vote, it's not easy to tell what the general atmosphere in the legislature is about the proposal when and if a final vote comes. But Joint Committee House Chair State Rep Antonio Cabral said towards the end of the hearing that a decision from the committee, at the very least, to move this along and not should be coming relatively quickly. I just want you to know this is an important issue for this committee as well, he said. We are looking at it very closely. Obviously, eminent domain is a serious issue that we have to ponder on and look at, but we will make a decision in this committee sooner rather than later. We plan on moving quickly on the bills we have heard today, including this one. Of course, we have rules we have to follow. There is a process, and we have to make sure the process is followed. The measure comes from State Rep John Rogers and State Rep Michael Rush, who are pushing for the state to take control of the Norwood Hospital and for the state to find a new operator, specifically a nonprofit operator, to finally come in and take over the Norwood Hospital. According to several speakers at the meeting, a nonprofit operator has been in talks with the owner for a certain time, but nothing has come of it. For those who don't know, Norwood Hospital flooded in June of 2020 due to the heavy rainstorm that dropped almost a foot of water in 2 hours. The hospital was later found not to be damaged beyond repair, and then operator Steward and its landlord Medical Properties Trust PT started the process to rebuild. However, Steward spectacularly imploded due to, at the very best, financial mismanagement, or at the very worst, intentional misconduct, and MPT took over the building project. According to Norwood Town Manager Tony Mazzucco, MPT has been in talks with at least one potential operator for over a year now, and Rogers said a legislation passed last year would make it basically impossible for MPT to continue its rental hospital model. The model is at least primarily blamed for Steward's implosion, and Steward sold all its hospital land in 2016 and then paid high rents to MPT since that time. Steward was very much behind on its rent after the shutdown and building project. Rent it was still paying for Norwood Hospital when it stopped paying its builders and subcontractors and contractors for Norwood Hospital in the winter of 23-24. Given all that, Rogers said he wants to use, at the very least, the threat of eminent domain to move the process along, as it's been a year now and nothing has progressed. Rogers Lynch, Professional Firefighters of Massachusetts Director of EMS Tom Henderson, and more likely about the fact from the loss of the hospital has been a regional issue and likely cause preventable deaths. Mizugo and the others pointed out that the MPT has now its insurance payment for the loss of Norwood Hospital, despite a long legal battle with its insurers, Zurich, over what the definition of floodwaters is, and will not be as negatively affected by the taking if it happened, as one might think. Rogers, Rush, Lynch laid out regional arguments for taking the hospital, according to the trio, and other data around Norwood Hospital. Just on a recent year, the hospital served a region of more than 250,000 people in about 20 municipalities. This was the highlighted when Walpole Selectman Joe O'Neill spoke and said the town's ambulances are facing heavy strain driving to Needham and Boston for every run. Since the flooding was and closure, the residents of Walpole have faced a growing crisis, public health crisis. For decades, Norwood Hospital served as the critical anchor for our region, and its absence is a void that cannot be filled by distant facilities. Our first responders are currently under immense strain because Norwood is closed. We must transport patients to Boston, Needham, Newton, or Brockton. These round trips consistently exceed 1 hour and sometimes two. He said this has increased response times, reduced flexibility, and put emotional and physical strain on the town's EMS and fire staff. For Norwoodians, all this should sound familiar. Norwood Fire Chief Timothy Bailey and the three or four chiefs who came before him since that time the hospital flooded has repeatedly stated that this increased runtime for ambulances has negatively affected his staff. It's certainly required the town to increase spending on new ambulances as the ambulances have been wearing out faster. Rush pointed out that the region needs this hospital as its facilities are not found anywhere close to many nearby towns. Both he and Lynch said nearby hospitals are already filling up and overflowing with many patients forced to occupy hallways in hospital beds because there is just not enough room. Norwood Hospital has never been a community hospital just for the town of Norwood. It's a regional hospital that serves the needs of many, many communities and individuals. He said, in my role as state senator, I have had many conversations with doctors, nurses, hospital administrators, and more in Boston and surrounding communities, and they have all impressed on me that the closure of the Norwood Hospital has put a tremendous strain on their resources. Lynch said that he added rather that this overflow is affecting ambulances as well. Mass General is asking first responders, can you leave the ambulance in the parking lot with the patient in it? Because we don't have a space for them right now, he said. That's making the delays even worse. Lynch said the poor for-profit nature of the hospital and its rent landlord structure basically meant that Stewart and MPT had been taking Medicare funding, half paid by state taxes and half paid by federal taxes, for their own profit. Money was effectively being pocketed by a private company, and that would not happen again. The CEO was buying yachts, and right now in Congress, and I can say this on behalf of Democrats and my colleague Republicans, for a profit healthcare has a very low support in the federal government, principally because taxpayer money is paying the dividends and profits for private equity partners, he said. Lynch said MPT was trying to play the clock for the best deal it can get on a hospital, and so it was felt that getting the eminent domain bill passed and the process started would be a good way to motivate them to a faster deal rather than the most profitable. And if that doesn't work, the state can take the hospital and find an operator itself, making the measure a win-win. Mizuko discussed the impact for surrounding towns like Sharon, Mansfield, Wrentham, and Foxborough. He said, if you were to have a heart attack in those areas, you are 40 minutes from an acute care hospital. Norwood Hospital had a cardiac catheterization lab, which is what you need when you're having a heart attack. He said, 8 miles from the greatest medical center in the world, we are 40 minutes away. If you are in any of these communities, the best hospitals in the world do not matter if patients can't reach them. Selectman Bob Donnelly said Norwood Hospital likely saved his brother's life as he was driving and suffered an acute cardiac event. He was able to drive to Norwood Hospital and receive care. He probably should have been pulled off the road and called 911, but we Donnellys can be a bit stubborn sometimes, he said. My personal connection, when I remember that today, is how many stories are there like this? I mean, if my brother was driving out of Boston today and experiencing that on I-95, there would be no cardiac cath. Within a 20 to 30 minute drive to take care of him. I dread to think of what these circumstances are, and it pains me to think of others in that situation. And while the medical side of the coin is very most acute, the Ponset Valley Chamber of Commerce President Tom O'Rourke pointed out the hospital brings in about 100,000 people a year to the local economy in and around Norwood, not to mention the workforce and ancillary needs, repairs, maintenance, upgrades that come to the hospital for regular work. He said Rush and Rogers recently got funds for an economic impact study regarding the closure of the hospital, but he said he's fairly confident he knows the gist of what will come. I believe that it will shine a light on just how deeply our regional economy has been impacted, he said. Previous estimates of the old hospital put it at about $2 billion in direct and indirect economic activity for the region. But Norwood in the Olympics. Another Jeff Sullivan story here. While the U.S. Olympic figure skater and Norwood resident Maxi Anoumov did not bring home any medals in this year's competition, that did not dampen his spirit. It's been very difficult getting here to this moment, he said in an interview on NBC. I'm proud of all the decisions to keep going and all these roadblocks and things in my way and the willingness and desire to continue. All of these decisions, whether they were big or small, all led me to being here, and that's what I am most proud of. Naumov's journey has garnered a lot of media attention after the death of his parents at the beginning of 2025 in the Potomac River mid-air collision between American Airlines Flight 5342 and the U.S. Army Sikorsky Black Hawk helicopter UH-60. Naumov, when asked about his parents, said he has felt them throughout his journey to the Olympics. Their presence, the way I felt it, was just a sense of calmness, stillness, and ease, he said. Usually, I go out and I'm kind of jittery, nervous, and anxious. But I went out there and it was totally calm. The distractions were completely wiped out and I could focus on what I needed to do. I let my body take over and that was it. Naumov also gave words of encouragement for those dealing with loss. We were so much more capable than we give ourselves credit. And then we even know, he said, in moments of uncertainty and worry, your whole life and the world can flip upside down at any moment. It can happen to all of us. One of the biggest takeaways is may just be in the moment, because you never know what's going to happen tomorrow. And if the most difficult times in your life, you choose to take action and choose to do the right thing that is hard, then that is the way you're going to get through. The only way is through. The only way out is through. Naumov placed 20th in the figure skating men's free skate and short program with a combined score of 137.71. Kazakhstan's Mikhail Shidrov won gold, followed by Yuma Kagimara and Shuan Soto, both of Japan. Moving on to hockey, in the three preliminary games, the U.S. hockey team is doing well and has won all three. The first game against Latvia saw a score of 5.1. Latvian Orthodox. The second against Denmark saw the U.S. win 6-3, and the last with Germany saw a score of 5-1, with the U.S. taking the win as well. Norwood's Noah Hannafin scored one of the 16 goals and assisted in another. He had a plus-minus score of +2, which means basically he was a net asset for the team when a power play was taking place against the team. He said he had a time on ice per games ratio of 11.09 with a shot percentage of 33%. He had 14 shifts in the first two games against Latvia and Denmark, respectfully, at 20 and 15 minutes against Germany. Hanifin had no penalty minutes, nor any shorthanded goals or power play goals. He managed, as a defenseman, to have three shots in three games total. In the NBC coverage of the Denmark game, where Hanifin scored his goal against Denmark, Hanifin's post-goal celebration with his teammates is still showed before the video could replay. Hanifin, a goal on a quick-fired shot where he picked up the puck at mid-ice and sped towards the Denmark goal after taking the first shot to a Denmark defender's leg. He caught the rebound and shot it right through the legs of the defender and the goalie at that point and scored the point. That's a four legs total, if you're keeping score. After a win against Germany, the team is headed for the quarterfinal on February 18th, which already happened after the records deadline. Head coach Mike Sullivan, no relation to Jeff Sullivan, was quoted on the USA Hockey website saying he felt his team was really coming together. I thought it was our most complete game of the tournament, said Sullivan. That was certainly an important win for us, and we'll take tomorrow off to recover and get ready for our quarterfinal game. Here's a blurb about divorce recovery. It's a support program for those who are separated, considering divorce, or divorced. It offers support and healing to people experiencing the pain and separation of divorce. Group members gain knowledge about the emotional stages of divorce and how to cope with lifestyle changes. The group runs for 8 consecutive weeks. The Divorce Recovery Series is an outreach program for the First Congregational Church in Norwood. It is offered as a community service, and all participants are welcome regardless of religious affiliation. Divorce recovery groups are ongoing and continue throughout the year. For more information, please call the church office at 781-762-3320. That's 781-762-3320, or contact by email to church office, that's one word, church office at fccnorwood.org, fccnorwood.org. That's the First Community Church, First Congregational Church, that is. Norwood Women's Club donated for music on July 4th. The Norwood Women's Club, it's pictured here, announced donating $1,500 to the town of Norwood, $500 for the 4th of July committee, $500 for the winter concert series, and $500 for the summer concerts series. There are a number of the women members pictured. And here's the Bare Bones Big Band, Swinging at the High School by Susan Krajica. That's a good guess at the pronunciation of that one. About 75 swing music enthusiasts heard the Bare Bones Big Band. That's BBBB. That's four of them, you know. Four Bs. A 9-piece swing band performed the last concert of the Norwood winter season, the Sunday concert series, on February 15th at the Paul M. Alberta Performing Arts Center at Norwood High School. BBBB produced the big band sound that is signature to the timeless standards of the 1930s through the 1970s, with a few Broadway hits included. Even if you don't know the song titles or the composers, you know the big brass jazz sound that has been the backdrop music for weddings and clubs for generations and the soundtrack for countless Hollywood movies. The band played standards made famous by Duke Ellington, Count Basie, Louis Armstrong, and others, and has a full quarter of saxophones, trumpets, trombones, clarinets, bass, drums, and guitar. Band leader Christopher Misch has orchestrated each song on the playlist to create the full-size sound as close to the original as possible, even with fewer instruments. The first set began with Take the A-Train, the signature tune for the Duke Ellington Orchestra, BBBB's vocalist Lynn Radish. Radish's apparently appeared intermittently to sing hits like Dream, A Little Dream of Me, the Andrew Sisters' 1937 hit, Bay Mir Bist Du Sukon, and other standards like Don't Get Around Much Anymore, We'll Meet Again, and All That Jazz from the Chicago show and movie Chicago, how could that be, from the Broadway and the Broadway show and movie Chicago, as a much added treat. Each audience member was given a free ticket for a raffle at admission that included gift certificates for Domino's Pizza and Boston Beef. Where's the beef? Now, no special incentive was needed to entice Simone Winslow of Walpole and Richard Trochino from Plymouth to attend. They have been dancing together for 16 years, and the couple took over the exit area, stage right, off the seating area to dance to almost every song. We're dancing almost every chance we get, everywhere we go. I've been dancing since the eighth grade, said Trochio. Winslow said she hasn't been dancing that long, but still a long time. Neither has any formal dance training, though you'd never know it. Yeah, it's just rhythm. We have rhythm. And Trochio, we go to the Holliston Senior Center every Friday afternoon, added Winslow. They have a 12-piece band. It's $3 per person, coffee and goodies. Mish, the band's leader, said they've been playing together for 10 to 14 years, maybe much longer. I really stand out as I just wrote these arrangements. I really started out as I just wrote the arrangements before I wrote everything. And then we get together every so often to just read them down, because you know it doesn't sound good on the computer, but you never know, he said. The members are from the area, including Taunton, Attleboro, Foxborough, Norwood, and Woonsocket. Yes, I knew all these guys. We are all freelancing. We play in a whole bunch of different other bands. There's a core of people, but you know, not everybody can make it all the time. When asked if younger people have been coming out to hear their music, Mish said, oh yeah, there's a lot of, well, how do you define young folks? They are some 30, 30-ish olds that come. Mish said that the younger people want high tempo music, and the band can deliver what they want. While the winter concerts, or over Nova's annual summer concert series in the Common, will begin on Sunday, July 5th of this year. The NPD, the Nova Police Department Chief Patton, total loss of $220,000 through a sophisticated internal investigation scam. The victim was contacted by an individual posing as Bank of America fraud investigation, used the victim's personal information and specific account details to establish credibility. This caller convinced the victim to assist in a sting operation targeting a local bank branch. The victim was instructed to withdraw $10,000 in cash, which a courier would then collect to purportedly check for the fingerprints of a complicit bank employees. Following the initial pickup, the scammers used these same pretext to successfully solicit a second withdrawal of $12,000 the following day. The pattern continued on the third day, after the victim was directed to the Bank of America branch in Dedham. However, the scheme was thwarted when an observant teller, sensing something was wrong, questioned the victim and identified the transaction as a scam. We were notified on the third day. Please have conversations with your older family members and share this post. These crimes can be devastating to older citizens, and we need to work together to stop them. Please share this information with, let's get the word out and stop this from happening anymore. You can always call 911 and ask the police if something seems suspicious. They are there to help. Ice Chips are coming to the Skating Club of Boston. New England's premier center for figure skating is hosting their annual benefit ice show, Ice Chips, on February 28th and March 1st with headliner Olympic gold medalist and world champion Alisa Aliyu. Alisa is a favorite to win individual gold. U.S. Won on the 8th. They won the gold and the 2026 Winter Games. And this will be her first appearance in the United States after the games complete. Ice Chips is a world a journal will be performed for three shows. Sunday, the 28th at 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. and one show on Sunday, March 1st at 1 p.m. at the Tenley E. Albright Performance Center at the Skating Club of Boston in Norwood. Alisa Liu is the current world champion, the recent 2025 Skate America champion, and a two-time national champion, winning her first at the age of 13, making her the youngest skater to win that title. And more information on Ice Chips 2026, a world journey, can be found at www.icechips.org. The Tenley E. Albright Performance Center at the Skating Club of Boston is located at 750 University Avenue in Norwood. This is about 20 miles southwest of a downtown Boston. Again, this has been Frank Dunn reading for you from your local Norwood paper, The Record. On behalf of the Talking Information Center, I want everybody to promise me that they're going to do their best. Have a great weekend.